Good morning. I love the chatter of God's people. Have I said that before? It's good to have you here. Guess what? I have good news. Are you ready for some good news? This is the day the Lord has made. Did you know that? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Can we do that? Welcome to our worship service this morning. Welcome to our live stream audience as well. We want to pray that the Holy Spirit would be with us. Yes?
Yes.
You want Him here with us? All right, let's pray. Father, we rejoice that this is another day You have made. And whatever we've carried in here with us, Father, we pray that for freedom today. Not just freedom to worship today in this place, but as we exit this place, as we go out home, as we go into our lives, would You give us joy? Would You give us peace? The fruit of Your Spirit, Lord. Send Your Holy Spirit into this place. Would our praises be pleasing to You as we lift up and exalt Your holy name? It's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's worship. Stand and worship if you're able.
Y'all help me out. Let's put the
good to see each and every one of you here this morning, church, and it's good for us to be together. And we're in the presence of the living God, and we can feel the love of God in our hearts all the way deep inside of us. And I pray that you feel love coming from person to person, that we love one another in this place, and that people would want to come here because they hear about how much God loves us and how much we love one another in this place. I invite you into worship this morning because we are here to meet with God. Amen. We're not here because it's a church service or to go through a religious ceremony or to go through the motions, but the living God of the universe is here right now. Let me say that again. The living God who created all things, he created you, he created me, he's in this place. And the invitation is open for every person to come and meet with him because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So this morning, because of Jesus, you're invited into the presence of God. He wants nothing more than your heart. He wants nothing more than all of your attention and focus pouring out in worship to him this morning. Let's press in, church. If you have any struggles, pour your heart out to God this morning because he's a chain breaker.
You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice of the same old lies. You've been trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom for saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You've got chains, he's a chain breaker. Search for the light of the day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. There's a better life. There's a better life. Testify, testify. You believe it. If you receive it. If you feel it. Somebody testify, testify. If you believe it. If you receive it. If you feel it. Somebody testify.
Chain breaker.
If you need freedom,
Give our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ a round of applause this morning. All right, children, I'm going to invite you to stay where you are and everybody sit down. We are going to celebrate a new family joining our amazing church.
Imagine that, an amazing family joining an amazing church. Hey, doesn't get any better than that, right? The Jeter family, come on up. Whoop, whoop. Yeah. Doug. There's Doug. Elena, Ben, and Zoe. Jeter. Yes, we're excited about having them come this morning to join our church. Zoe and I will be talking more about the Lord and making that decision in her life, but the other three have already made that decision and been baptized, and so we receive y'all as a family. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness?
Yes, sir.
Amen. We welcome you. I'm going to invite y'all to go ahead and be seated. See how easy that was? And you're walking without a crutch. Way to go, Elena. Yeah. Okay. Be sure that family doesn't get out of here today without a greeting from you. Okay? We'll greet them and welcome them. If our children will come, we will have, and meet Ms. Carlene, we'll have our children's message.
Kind of made a slide in there.
My brother's not here.
Your brother, I know your brother's too old. I know, he's in fourth grade, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First grade.
You're in first grade. I know, I tried to put you in kindergarten a while ago. All right, how's everybody doing today? Everybody good?
Yeah.
Yay, all right. Well, I have a silly question for you this morning, and I already know your answer, but I want you to tell me what your answer is, okay? Do you ever sleep? Yes. Is sleep important to us?
No,
it's not important to you? Okay. Sit right there, Kenny. Okay. Yes, sleep is very important. God made us that we need sleep, right? We sleep of 6 to 8 hours a night, but there are some people who work at night. They need to sleep during the day, right? And that's okay, right? And then there are some people who like to take naps during the middle of the day. Who likes to take naps? You like to take naps? All right. So as I said, the first service, Billy takes naps during the day. So, all right. And do you know, so sleep is important. So, you know, God created us, right? And God created animals, and animals like to sleep too. Did you know that? Yeah. So do you know that horses can sleep standing up? Mm-hmm. Yeah, their back legs lock in place so that when they fall asleep, they won't fall down, right? So, and then of all the animals in the world, do you know which one sleeps the longest?
Bears.
Bears? Anybody else? Harper?
Elephant.
No? Okay. The koala sleeps.
Oh, yeah.
They sleep 22 hours a day. That's most of the day. They're only awake 2 hours. That's right. So which animal do you think sleeps the least amount of time? No, not a tiger. No, not bears. Okay. Anybody else got another guess? It's okay. No, it's okay. No, no. It is a giraffe. Giraffe sleeps less than 2 hours a day. I know. Isn't that amazing that God created us? We need to sleep. God created the animals, and they needed to sleep, right? So here's my next question. Does God sleep?
Yeah.
You think God sleeps? Do you think God sleeps? You think God takes a nap? Do you think he maybe naps throughout the day?
No.
No? Okay.
God can watch us even if he's sleeping.
You think God can watch us if he's sleeping? Well, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about God sleeping. It says in Psalms 121, it says, he who, which we're talking about God, watches over us, he never slumbers or sleeps. God never has slept, ever, since the beginning of time. God has never slept.
There was never a beginning of time for him.
That's right. There was never, and he doesn't need to sleep, does he?
No.
Because he's busy. Do you know what he's busy doing?
Watching us.
He's watching over us. Is that a big job for God to watch over us?
Yeah.
Is it important that he watches over us? Because if he's watching over all of us, what about all the people that live in Africa? Or is he watching people over there?
Yeah.
How about people over in Australia?
People
everywhere. So if he slept, he wouldn't be able to watch everybody, would he? Yeah. Uh-huh. So God doesn't need to sleep because he's watching over us. Aren't you excited? Aren't you thankful that God cares enough that he wants to watch over us all the time, every single day, every single moment of our lives? He was watching over you this morning when you got up and ate breakfast. And he's going to watch over you tonight before you go to bed. And when you're sleeping in the middle of the night, guess who's watching over you?
God.
Are we thankful that God cares that much about us? He knows when we get up, when we do things, how we do things, when we do things. He's watching over every single thing. So are we going to be thankful that God does that for us? And that he doesn't need to sleep, but we need to sleep, right? So everybody's going to go home this afternoon, and you're all going to take naps today, right?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I am so thankful that God made each one of us the way we are, and that he loves us so much that he doesn't have to sleep because he's watching over us all the time. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love for us, and I thank you that you care so much about each one of us, and you care where we are at and what we are doing and how we are doing things, and if we're sleeping or if we're at school or wherever we are at, you are with us and watching over us, Lord. Just bless our time in Children's Church today and bless each one of these boys and girls today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go.
Good morning, church. All my naps are divinely inspired, and none of them are during your sermon, by the way. I just want to let you know. Well, good to see everybody. If you want to register your attendance, you can do that. That'd be awesome. For those of you worshiping online with us, once again, God bless you. Pray that you feel his presence today. You can look through your bulletin at the events that are coming up and connect where you need to connect. There's two things not in the bulletin that you need to be aware of. On the 11th of September, from 6 to 7 p.m., we're having a community-wide prayer and worship service with the focus being praying for rain. That'll be at Bulldog Stadium, so this is going to be an ecumenical event. We're going to bring people from all different denominations, all different races together, and worship the Lord and ask for rain. Also on September the 18th, at probably 6 p.m., we're going to have a healing service in the sanctuary. We have a number of people that are ill, and so we just want to go after that. We want to pursue the Lord. So that's on the 18th of September, and there'll be more information about that as we get closer to that date. So if you're able to, let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus is the chain breaker. Do you believe that? Man, I love that. Love thinking through that. And so this morning, our prayer focus is going to be that. I want to encourage everyone to get before the Lord, whatever that looks like for you, whatever posture you need to assume to do that. And if there's something in your life that you need to lay down before Him, I want to encourage you to be bold and go there. And if there's somebody that you know that is struggling, they're bound up with something, I encourage you to intercede for that person. You know, I love Scripture when it says for us to ask, seek, and knock. And sometimes we have these things that keep us bound up that we prayed about for years, maybe, perhaps. That Scripture probably reads better, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. And, you know, Jesus is at home. I mean, if we knock long enough, He's going to answer the door. And so as we go before the Lord this morning, just like I said, just whatever that looks like for you, just get before Him, lay some things down, intercede for others. And I'm going to give you just a minute or so to do that, then I'm going to close this. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I'm grateful that You never sleep or slumber. Lord, You are wide awake this morning, longing to meet with us, longing to touch lives, touch hearts. You're longing to set the captives free. And so, Lord, I just pray that You hear the petitions of Your people for themselves or for others. And, Lord, we pray against chains this morning, chains of fear, chains of depression, chains of anxiety, chains of shame and guilt, addictive chains that keep people bound up. And Lord, this may have been going on for people for a long time. And Lord, I just ask that today is the day of freedom for a number of us. Lord, just move in power. Lord, I pray for a holy exchange to take place this morning. God, where people are discouraged, I pray that they're encouraged. And where people are struggling with depression, God, I pray for joy to break out in those hearts. For those who are guilty, Lord, feel guilty and are walking in shame, I pray for a holy confidence for those. They can live a life that Jesus, You save them to live. Oh God, do this for Your glory. Holy Spirit, You are so welcome here. And would You do a mighty work this morning? Oh, we need You. Even though we don't think we need You, we need You. Help us to need You more if we can't get there ourselves. And once again, Jesus, we declare that You've come to set the captives free. Set them free for Your glory. Lord, I pray for those worshiping with us online this morning. And maybe they might view this service later on in the week. God, I just pray that you come into these homes, Lord, and just do something supernatural in the lives of the people that are connecting with us online. I pray today be a new day for them. Now, thank you for that opportunity, that outlet that they have to connect with us. But Lord, don't leave them out. God, touch them for your glory. Oh, Father, you're so good, so kind, so loving. We just thank you for meeting with us this morning. Help us to be better receivers of you being here this morning. And we love you so. And we pray the prayer of Jesus you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I want to remind you of our giving opportunities. There are offering boxes by the doors. Also, you can give electronically. God bless you, church.
you won't light up. A mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. A lie you won't tear down. Coming after me. There's no shadow.
Spirit of the Living God. It's a song that's personally just, it's just gripped me. And the chorus says, because when you speak and when you move, when you can, when you do what only you can do, it changes us. It changes what we see and it changes what we seek. This morning we are gathered here for a deep purpose. To encounter the divine God of the universe, the resurrected Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to encounter Him. And when we encounter Him, we are changed into the likeness of Christ. We become full of love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. You see, it changes everything about who we are when we encounter the living God. So this morning you can come in here one way, and I pray that because of your encounter with God, that you leave filled with the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and that the love of Christ would pour out onto the world around us. That's our goal of worship, is to run after it as to the best of our ability when we come in here this morning. And we're not going to be perfect, but that's why we have the grace of Christ in the power of His Holy Spirit to lead us deeper into encountering Him. But when you encounter Him, you will not be the same. As Moses came down from the mountain glowing, I pray that our worship changes us and that we are glowing with the love and the glory of God in our lives.
Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more. We're hanging on every word.
every fear.
When you move us to tears. God, when you fall.
Well, good morning again. It's good to have you with us, worshiping with us. Hope you do feel the love of Christ in this place. If you are our guest, this is not just something I say. I want you to know here, we're glad you're here. We love new guests. If you are our guest, there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. You certainly are not required to fill that out, but would love for you to fill that out. I would love to meet you if I haven't already. And I'll be out at this end of the foyer at the end of the service and have a free gift for our guests. Would love to get to know you a little bit. So if you would turn with me, church, to Philippians chapter 4. Any besides me that like Philippians, love Philippians, love Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. I'm pretty sure Paul tells us to rejoice, wants us to rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. He's speaking to the church. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now here's the payoff. He's set up this, what we need to do, what we need to set our anxieties aside. And here's the promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And he moves into telling us kind of part of the story of how to do that. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we just sang about you, we just sang and invited you, Holy Spirit. So would you come? Would you speak to us in power and authority, transform our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So I'm concluding the sermon series, Jesus, Lord of All. Please hold your applause. When I say concluding something, we've talked about, you know, Jesus being Lord, and we have different components of our life, and we can give Him, let Him be Lord, which means He's in control. We surrender control. We can do it in certain areas of our lives and hold back in other areas of our lives, or really not know how to do that in specific areas of our lives. Today's message is Jesus, Lord of my thoughts. Lord of my thoughts. So as we're going to unpack this scripture a little bit and some others. And before we do that, our culture tells us that there's not any difference between men and women. In fact, we can decide what we want to be. But the truth of the matter is there's differences. The way we're designed, there's differences between men and women, and some of it is up here. Now that y'all can write your own sermon to the rest of that. But there's a guy named Mark Gunger, and I played this several years ago, but he talks about the differences between men's brains and women's brains, and just for a chuckle, I want us to watch that. But I also want to apologize. If you know Swedish, you're going to enjoy this because there's Swedish subtitles. So ignore those. But anyway, let's see what he has to say about men and women's brains.
We're going to start discussing men's brains, women's brains, and how they're very different from each other. Now, I want to start with men's brains. All right? Now, men's brains are very unique. Men's brains are made up of little boxes. And we have a box for everything. We've got a box for the car. We've got a box for the money. We've got a box for the job. We've got a box for you. We've got a box for the kids. We've got a box for your mother somewhere in the basement. We got boxes everywhere. And the rule is, the boxes don't touch. When a man discusses a particular subject, we go to that particular box, we pull that box out, we open the box, we discuss only what is in that box. All right? And then we close the box and put it away, being very, very careful not to touch any other boxes. Brains are very, very different from men's brains. Women's brains are made up of a big ball of wire. And everything is connected to everything. The money's connected to the car is connected to your job, and your kids are connected to your mother, and everything's connected to everything. And it's like... It's like the internet superhighway, okay? And it's all driven by energy that we call emotion. It's just... It's one of the reasons why women tend to remember everything. Because if you take an event and you connect it to an emotion, it burns in your memory and you can remember it forever. The same thing happens for men. It just doesn't happen very often because, quite frankly, we don't care. Now, men, we have a box in our brain that most women are not aware of. This particular box has nothing in it. In fact, we call it the nothing box. And of all the boxes a man has in his brain, the nothing box is our favorite box. If a man has a chance, he'll go to his nothing box every time. That's why a man can do something seemingly completely brain dead for hours on end. You know, like fishing.
Okay. If you, for all you fishermen out there, I apologize. But the truth of the matter is, these are powerful things up here. Yes? So I want to talk a couple, before I get into the points that I'm going to spend a little bit of time on, I want to talk about two things that we need to understand as we're talking about Jesus being the Lord of our thoughts. First, we need to understand that Jesus is absolute truth. Now, the world would tell us that that truth is relative. Your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth, and someone else's truth, and we can all kind of decide. But Jesus tells us he's absolute truth. Now, that word absolute means total, complete. There is nothing outside of that. It's absolute. Jesus, 78 times in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 78 times it's recorded Jesus saying this, I tell you the truth. He spoke of truth over and over and over. I tell you the truth, 78 times. Jesus also said that in John chapter 14, he said, I am the truth. It's not relative. It's not out there somewhere and we got to piece it together. No, I am the truth. Look to me. Now, the second thing we need to understand as we start this journey through Jesus being Lord of our thoughts, the second thing is that Jesus is absolute truth, but the devil is absolutely a liar. Now, I was telling the early service, I've actually known some pastors. It can come out of pulpits that some people don't believe in an actual devil. I mean, I'm kind of going, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you ever read this? Have you ever read this? That some people will teach or preach that, you know, evil is just this abstract thing out there that, you know, people can choose to do good or evil things. It's like, no, we have an enemy, and he's an absolute liar. Satan has been deceiving from the very beginning. God in the garden, God told Adam and Eve, you got the run of the place, just don't do one thing. You got the run of the place, just don't do this one thing. If you do that one thing, you will surely die. You will be cut off from me. You will surely die. And here was Satan's response to the woman. He said this, you will not surely die. You will not surely die. From the very beginning, he distorts or deceives with God's word or tries to convince us that God didn't really say something. Man, are we seeing that in our culture or what? Did God really say that you should do that or shouldn't do that? Did God really say that? He didn't say that. You need to follow. I see it all the time. They're saying now, it's like, I forget the way they word it, like, just be you. You're hearing that in culture? Just be you. Whatever you is. I'm like, man, the enemy is saying, did God really say that there's order and that there's structure and that I have a plan for you and that there's truth? God didn't say that. Here's the words of Christ speaking about the devil being an absolute liar. Jesus said in John 8, you belong, he's speaking to the Pharisees who were messed up. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Those are the words of Christ. So it seems to me to indicate, number one, Christ is saying, there is a devil, and he's a liar. And that's his language. So if we listen to him, we're going to get bad information. But Jesus said, no, I'm the truth. I'm the absolute truth. So we need to understand this is there's powerful stuff right up here. And we need to understand that there's two forces coming at us. The Spirit of Christ, who wants to reveal truth to us, and the devil, who wants to lie to us. Which voice are we listening to? I think the first step is to realize that we have an enemy and that he is speaking to us, and we need, I mean, if he came against Christ, if he tempted Christ, you think he's not going to tempt us? All right. So how? If we understand this battle for our minds, and we truly want to make Jesus the Lord of our thoughts, then how do we do that? The first point I want to make here is think holy thoughts. I know it sounds easy, sounds simple, but what we put in here, this phrase came to me this week as I was prepping, and I really believe it was from the Lord. Where the mind goes, the heart follows. Hello. Is this on? Where the mind goes, the heart follows. And guess what? Our actions follow as well. Well, so what are we putting up here? What are we feeding our soul? Well, Paul is saying in this passage today, think about true things, noble things, right things, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Think about those things. What are we putting in our mind? You know, here's what's interesting to me. How many of you have a remote, a TV remote? When I was growing up, I was the remote. I don't know how many anybody else. Hey, Jeff, would you go turn that channel? But we all got a remote, right? When we hit the power button, we're treading in dangerous territory. Even if you're watching wholesome, good stuff, the commercials in between have got an agenda. Did you know that? Man, so if we got a remote, a TV, if we got a computer, a cell phone, you know, when I was a kid, if you wanted to look at dirty magazines, you had to sneak into the 7-Eleven to buy one or get somebody else to buy them for you, or find one of your friends had one under his mattress or whatever. Our kids carry it around with them. It's the devil is at work, and he wants us. He wants our children. Not only does he want our children, he wants us. Think holy thoughts. Now listen to these passages. These are important. Colossians 2. Here's what Paul says to the Colossians. See to it that no one takes you captive. Now listen to this. Through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Is that happening in our culture? Which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. If that's not playing out in front of our eyes, then we're not watching. Hollow, being taken captive by hollow and deceptive philosophy, depending on human tradition and basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. So, again in Colossians, over into the third chapter, Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now listen to this. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Because, like I said before, where the mind goes, the heart follows, and our behavior is not far behind. 2 Corinthians, love this passage. Take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Now the enemy will, he will try to tell us things that aren't true, and it's not just moral and ethical things, but even things about ourselves. I mean, it's like, you're worthless, Jeff. Now, it's been a while since I shared this, but years ago, this has been early in my ministry, and the Lord was, he's still at work in me, but it was early in my ministry, and the devil was at work too. And I remember one day I came home from church, and everything, it was a good Sunday. I thought everything went well, and I'm sitting there with Cheryl, and I'm not going to use the word because I hate this word, but you'll know what I'm talking about. But it's an S word, S-U, and it has two more letters that follows that. And I looked at Cheryl, and I said, and I said that word. We're sitting in the living room after church one Sunday afternoon, and I said, S-U. And she said, what? And I said it again. And she said, no, you don't. And I know now, and I've learned then, as part of the Lord was teaching me, that where'd that thought come from? The enemy wanted me to think that about myself. But now I've learned, take that thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. In the name of Jesus, I don't, S-U. I don't. Whether it's a good sermon that day or whether it stunk, I still don't. Where the mind goes, the heart follows, and our behavior's not far behind. Secondly, if we want to make Jesus Lord of our thoughts, we need to read our Bible. I was telling the early service, when I started ministry, I had a Bible, but that's about it. And I had a pastor friend of mine was getting out of the ministry, and he had, you know, hundreds of books. And he gave me boxes of books and on all sorts of subjects. And most of which I still have. Some of those I don't have anymore, but most of which I have. In my office here, there's a whole wall that's a bookshelf. And many of those books I've never read, but here's the thing that I'm hoping for. I sit about 3 feet from that bookshelf every day, several times a week. And I walk by that bookshelf several times a week. And what my hope and desire is that just by osmosis that... That's called sarcasm, in case you're wondering. It doesn't do any good for me to walk by that. It doesn't do any good for those books to be on my shelf. I do read. But so many of them, I mean, there were so many, it was so overwhelming. It's like, man, some of them were older and stuff, and I just haven't read them all, but I still have them, and they're on my bookshelf, but they aren't doing anybody any good unless they're opened and read. Do we realize the preciousness of this gift? I've said it before. So many men died so that we could have this in our hands. Burned at the stake with their own Bibles that they had written. Read your Bible. You want Jesus to be Lord of your thoughts? Read your Bible. Romans 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here's the promise. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So transforming our mind through His Word, through the power of His Holy Spirit, invoking His Word in us, and then we're going to know what God's will is. You want to know what God's heart is for you and for your family and for your future? Get into His Word. Begin to to put Christ in our minds, be transformed in our minds. Paul is telling Timothy, his protege, he's telling Timothy this. Timothy was a young man, and Paul said, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, and which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed." Don't you love that? God-breathed, God-inspired, and is useful, here's the payoff, "for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." You want to know how to be a righteous person? Get into God's Word. Let Him renew your mind. You want to head towards that walking out your righteousness? "So that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." We want to make Jesus Lord of our thoughts. We need to think holy thoughts. We need to read our Bible. You know, I've said this before, but, several years ago, I just kind of made the decision, I'm going to listen to Christian music. That's what I'm going to listen to. I couldn't tell you, man, if I watched the Grammys or whatever these award shows, and they whoop out these singers and stuff, and everybody's like raving about it. It's like, I don't know who any of those people are. I know who Chris Tomlin is. I know a lot of those artists, because I'm not saying that to brag or say, oh man, that Jeff, he's really something. But no, I've just made the decision. That's what I want in my mind. I don't want that other stuff in my mind. I stopped watching, for the most part. I told you about a year ago. I stopped consuming. That's a better word. Stopped consuming news. Just talking about bad stuff over and over and over and over and over. I don't want that in my mind all the time. I stay knowledgeable. I stay up to date with what's going on in our world. But I don't want that repeated junk bombarding my mind all the time. Think holy thoughts. Read your Bible. And lastly, seek absolute truth. Now, it may sound simple again. It may sound actually kind of repetitive, but here's the deal. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 8. "To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples.'" Well, you can also extrapolate that go back the other way. "If you don't hold to my teaching, you must not be my disciples." It's another way to look at that. "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And I've said this before so many times, but and we all have issues in our lives and struggles. But generally, when people come to me and it's like, man, just everything is chaotic in their world. I just sometimes like, man, I don't know how you do that. I mean, I don't know how you function. But many times we do that to ourselves, don't we? It's like things seems like life gets tied in knots, and it's like, well, you can trace it back to all these bad decisions that we've made. But Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." How many besides me want to be free? I mean, just to walk in freedom. Man, Cheryl and I say it all the time, you know, the Lord got a hold of me, really got a hold of me. The girls were 2 and 4, and I was around 31, and I say all the time to Cheryl, I'm so glad He got a hold of me, and we've, you know, the girls, that we kind of gross them out sometimes because Cheryl and I are affectionate, but it's like, I want them to see a husband that loves his wife. Amen, "If you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free to walk in freedom." Man, that's seeking absolute truth, which means we're seeking Jesus because He is absolute truth. He says, that He is the truth, not a truth. It's not your truth, my truth. There's only the truth, Jesus. I've said this before too, but every time I'm prepping for a sermon, getting ready to put the sermon together, I remember this scripture, Romans 8, and I pray this prayer, and I want to read to you the Romans 8. The Spirit, big S, Holy Spirit, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Anybody ever been there? It's like, Lord, I'm a mess. I'm depressed. I'm feeling this. I'm feeling that. But I don't even really know where to begin, Lord. Well, good news. When we don't know what we ought to pray for, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Sometimes the greatest prayer is just help me. Just help, Lord. I don't even know what to pray. Just help. I need some relief here. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, here it is, in accordance with God's will. The Spirit has a mind. He wants to impart that to us. How do we do that? We press into the Spirit of God. My prayer each week as I'm preparing a sermon is this, and I use that scripture kind of as that foundation. My prayer is this: Holy Spirit, intercede for me to the Father. Intercede for me to the Father. Make my heart His heart. Whatever His heart is, that's what I want mine to be. Whatever His mind is, I want that mind. And whatever His words are, those are the words I want. Man, just seek Jesus, because He is the truth. We have to get in His Word, put godly things in our minds. Church, this is not a scolding. It's an encouragement. Do we need it? Do we need that? We need the Lord. We need Him to be Lord of our thoughts. What? Because we have an enemy. He wants to plant this junk in our minds. And if we're putting junk in our minds, that's probably what we're going to get out. If you'll bow your heads with me as the praise team comes back up. Father, we sang that song just a little while ago, Spirit of the Living God. We only want to hear from You. We're hanging on every word. That's our heart, Jesus. If we're honest, we can really make a mess of things. Too many times we can listen to the lies of the enemy, what he says about truth, what he says about us, what he says about things that will fulfill us and make us happy. And we listen too often to the lies of the enemy. Father, would You permeate our hearts and minds with Your truth, with Jesus? Come, Holy Spirit. We only want to hear from You. Help us to be hanging on every word. We love You, and we pray it in the powerful in perfect name of Jesus. Amen. I want to remind you at the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer. We'd love to greet you, greet our guests. There will be people up front if you have prayer needs this morning that will be have a tag for prayer team tag that will pray for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ in the way I'm describing Him, this Savior that loves you, if you don't know Him in that way, please don't leave this place without visiting with me about that. Yes. At the conclusion of this song, we will have a baptism. I promise I won't forget. We will have a baptism, so please hang around. If you'll rise if you're able as we sing. Thank you.
my vision.
Lead out my vision.
Jenna, if you'll come out. Jenna Isbell comes to be baptized in my family, mom, dad, family, friends, and youth. That first step is a tricky one. Jenna, while they're making their way up, Jenna at on our youth mission trip this summer accepted Christ. And we're excited about that. We want to celebrate that. And you're not blocking anything. We've got a camera over here, so y'all just come right on up. Snuggle up right there in the front. Everybody can still see with cameras. There we go. Jenna, I think a couple of people love you. I'm not sure. Yeah, we're excited about that. And you know, besides all of these that love you, Jesus loves you even more. So we celebrate with you. So we'll ask you the questions of the faith, the historic faith that we ask. Number one, that we've talked about this idea that we're all sinners and we all fall short of God's glory and His will in our lives. So do you admit and confess that you are a sinner?
Yes.
You want Jesus to forgive you of that sin and be your Lord and your Savior? Amen. And do you want to be baptized in that faith?
Yes.
All right. If you will sit right there and hold your nose. Jen, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Stay right there. Y'all, family, y'all snuggle in here. If you can reach her to put a hand on. One of the other things, Jenna, that we talked about was the Holy Spirit wants to live and promises to live inside of you. And so we're going to pray that, okay? Father, thank you that you hung on a cross for this young lady, that you love her so deeply, and she was worth it to you. I pray, God, that you would, from the top of her head to the tip of her toe, that she would ooze your Spirit. Father, that she would just be filled, that we drive a stake in the ground today and say, this day things are different. Everything in her life, God, would be different. She would just be inspired and empowered by your Spirit. Bless this family. Bless her. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you for the empty tomb. And thank you for dying for Jenna. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, there's towels right there and your glasses. You want them? Okay, thank you. You got it? Church, if you'll rise for this benediction. Carlene's taking your children home with her today, and you can pick them up at midnight. Is that right? Okay, maybe not. Maybe you can pick them up in front to right after we close. Church, may Jesus be the Lord of your thoughts. Be in His Word. Embrace the absolute truth of Jesus Christ. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.